Growing up in Tehran during the 1970s and 80s meant experiencing history not as distant headlines, but as daily reality. 10-year-old Marjane Satrapi's childhood coincided with Iran's Islamic Revolution, a seismic shift that transformed her once secular society virtually overnight. When mandatory veiling was suddenly imposed, Marjane and her classmates turned their new headscarves into jump ropes and makeshift puppets during recess, processing radical change through the universal language of childhood play. "I really didn't know what to think about the veil," she confesses, capturing the confusion of a child trying to make sense of adult politics. This stark contrast between public restrictions and private freedom defined Marjane's early years. At school, religious conformity was strictly enforced, with mandatory prayer sessions and modest dress codes. Yet at home, her progressive parents filled their apartment with books, Western music, and heated political discussions. One day, she'd play at being a revolutionary prophet with homemade robes. The next, she'd transform into a Western pop star, singing into her hairbrush before the mirror. What makes Marjane's perspective so powerful is how it strips away complex ideologies to reveal simple human truths. When her school suddenly segregated boys and girls, she didn't understand the religious reasoning. She simply missed playing soccer with her friends. Through these everyday frustrations, we experience how revolutions manifest in the mundane. Neighborhood shops removing Western products, friends' families disappearing abroad, and propaganda murals appearing on building walls overnight. Marjane's political education came from bedtime stories about her family's history of resistance. Her grandfather, once a Qajar prince, became a communist revolutionary who spent 9 years in prison under Reza Shah. Her uncle Anoush survived Soviet exile and Iranian imprisonment for his political beliefs. When Uncle Anoush visited after his release, Marjane treated him like a superhero, absorbing his stories of fleeing across snow-covered borders with forged papers and surviving solitary confinement. Through these conversations, abstract concepts like revolution and resistance became vivid human experiences. These family stories provided crucial context for Iran's complex political landscape. Her father explained the 1953 British and American orchestrated coup against Prime Minister Mossadegh, revealing the roots of Iranian suspicion toward Western powers. Her grandmother's experience, having her veil forcibly removed during Reza Shah's westernization campaign, then being forced to wear it again during the Islamic Revolution, captured the whiplash of Iran's political pendulum through one woman's life. Iraq's 1980 invasion transformed Marjane's childhood. Air raid sirens interrupted school, families waited in endless lines for supplies, and huddled in basements during bombings. Children adapted quickly. Marjane and friends invented games torturing Iraqi soldiers represented by nails. The regime exploited religious faith to recruit child soldiers, giving boys as young as 12 keys to paradise, cheap plastic trinkets painted gold, promising eternal glory in death. Schools celebrated these young martyrs while mothers grieved. The war intensified class divisions. Wealthy families like Marjane's accessed black market goods and maintained private generators, while poor boys became cannon fodder. In one poignant scene, Marjane's maid learned her nephew died at the front. He had enlisted because his family needed the martyr's pension. Wealthy families could buy exemptions, while poor families sent children to die for economic survival. As Marjane entered adolescence, her rebellion intensified. She bought Western music on the black market, modified her uniform, and evaded the guardians of the revolution enforcing Islamic dress codes. When stopped for running in public, which could cause her body to move provocatively, she cleverly invented a story about being followed by a man, turning their moral logic against them. These acts of defiance revealed how authoritarian control breeds a generation skilled in subterfuge. Marjane and her friends became experts at maintaining double lives, appearing compliant in public while secretly listening to Iron Maiden, wearing makeup, and attending forbidden parties. "We were living in a paradox," she explained, our private self was completely different from our public image. The regime's obsession with controlling women's bodies became a central battleground. Guardians measured exposed hair, checked for nail polish, and warned against hip movements while walking downstairs to avoid arousing men. These restrictions transformed even mundane physical movements into political acts. When Marjan's parents sent their 14-year-old daughter to Vienna for safety, she experienced the paradox of gaining freedom while losing belonging. In Austria, she struggled as an Iranian teenager during a time when her country was vilified. "I was nothing," she reflected. "I was a foreigner in Austria, and I had been a foreigner in my own country." Her initial excitement about escaping Iran's restrictions quickly gave way to loneliness. Cultural differences and casual racism isolated her from peers who asked ignorant questions about camels or assumed she couldn't understand modern technology, reducing her to an exotic other. Housing insecurity compounded her isolation as she moved through a series of temporary homes: a Catholic boarding house, a friend's apartment, a communal home with 8 gay men, and an eccentric doctor's residence. Too proud to admit her struggles to her parents in war-torn Iran, she suffered in silence. After 4 years abroad, Marjan returned to an Iran transformed by war and fundamentalism. Despite her family's loving embrace, she felt like a stranger in her homeland. "I was a Westerner in Iran, an Iranian in the West," she reflected, "belonging nowhere completely." The gulf between her experiences and those of friends who remained during the war was immediately apparent. While she experienced freedom in Vienna, they endured bombings, food shortages, and religious restrictions. When she shared European stories, they responded with accounts of relatives killed at the front, revealing the impossibility of truly sharing their divergent traumas. Depression overwhelmed Marjan as she struggled to reconcile her Western experiences with Iran's restrictions. After a failed suicide attempt, she realized she needed to integrate her divided self rather than erasing either part. Marjan's journey culminated in embracing her existence between worlds. After divorcing Reza, a marriage representing conformity to Iranian expectations, she decided to leave Iran permanently. Unlike her earlier exile, she left as an adult, fully aware of what she was gaining and losing. The night before departure, her grandmother shared wisdom that became Marjan's guiding philosophy: always keep your dignity and be true to yourself. This addressed her core struggle of maintaining personal integrity while navigating contradictory cultural expectations. Her grandmother gave her jasmine flowers, a sensory connection to Iran she would carry forward. At the airport, the final separation from her family was devastating. Her mother fainted, her father carried her away, and Marjan walked through customs knowing she might never see her grandmother again, the true cost of her freedom. Marjan's story shows how she transformed displacement into a unique perspective. Rather than seeing her divided identity as a weakness, she recognized it as the source of her creative voice. Through her graphic memoir, she integrated her contradictory experiences into a coherent narrative, finding liberation in being fully herself.